It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
But for all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Welcome on in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hi, Hans. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Scotty. And I'm out here in your stomping grounds. I've had three people stop by and ask me, where's Scotty? They don't want me here. They just want you here.
You and I both know that's not true. I appreciate you saying that.
It is true. And Mark's going to be here, I'm sure, in about 15, 20 minutes to tell us about these new cars on the showroom floor. And he's probably going to be upset that you're not here and that I am. I'm sure he would rather have me in South Dakota. By the way, how is lovely South Dakota this time of year?
Well, let's just say this. I flew in. I got in about 10:30. It was very dark. I got in the old rental car, drove to the hotel, and I've been here ever since. So.
Lovely.
I will say this, the Marriott I'm staying in had a lovely, lovely breakfast, and that's about the extent of my knowledge of South Dakota at this point.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. they had a nice spread of bagels with various flavors of cream cheese and orange juice.
And jelly. Juice. Did you have any jelly?
Oh, I didn't see if they had jelly. No, I went right to the cream cheese.
Hey, Scotty, good news. My turkey is currently deep inside the brine, and we are excited about the smoking procedures. I'm going to be putting it on the smoker at 4:30 in the morning. I've got all the techniques put together. I'm going to put a quick oil glaze on it, throw it in the broiler, crisp up that skin, and we are T-minus 27 hours away from eating Thanksgiving.
So you're a high noon guy, huh?
Yeah, I am. I'm a high noon guy. Because, you know, we've got, I think, what is it, three NFL games that are going to come up on Thursday?
Yep.
And, you know, we'll have time. The Lions game, nobody ever pays attention to it. It's just a garbage tradition. And I think they stuck one other stinker with the Washington football team. But when it comes time for the Ravens in Pittsburgh, I will be opening up a new roll and throwing some chicken in with some mayo, reheating the stuffing and the sweet potatoes, and I will start the meal all over again.
I love the fact that you want to get to that as early as you possibly can so that you're ready for round two, because you don't want to be too stuffed for round two.
No, absolutely not. And let's see. I've got my text here in front of me. We have 8 different types of pies that will be there. So I'm really excited about that. That's pretty exciting.
Hans, there's only 6 of you in the house.
I know, man. I get it. It doesn't say the best things about me. I'm not saying that.
I mean, that's the kind of number you need to have if it's, you know, Ryan and your sisters and mom and dad. That might take care of them, but.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna have some pies for a while, and that's a good thing.
You got the ice cream, so you're ready for a pie shake?
Got the ice cream? Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, I did buy an entire gallon of just plain vanilla, and I'm not a vanilla bean guy. People are like vanilla, not at all for me. It's just vanilla. I just want vanilla. That's it. Like a really nice creamy vanilla. So I bought an entire gallon of what's the ice cream that's there in the arena?
Oh man, I should know this.
Yeah, I think we both should, because I've eaten at least 800 gallons of it. And there for Fars. It is Fars, right?
Sounds right. Yeah,
I think that's right. But it's I did buy a gallon of that amazing ice cream. I'm ready for those pie shakes.
Well, that'll take you through Thursday. What are you going to do on Friday?
Oh, buy another gallon. Gonna buy me another gallon. So look at this. So, you know, right, I think that the Pittsburgh game kicks off at like 6:30, and you've got Utah State that's going to be mixed in there. So we're going to have some college football, some NFL. Look, watching that level of football burns a lot of calories. So you've got to be ready. The other thing, there's a bit of greed here because, you know, as you mentioned, Scotty, my two sisters, my brother and his full family, and my mom and dad and everybody, it's Thanksgiving is a tradition at my house. Everybody comes to my house and we blow this thing out. And I had actually geared up. I had bought that farm fresh turkey. It was a turkey that was raised right next to my house by a family that's in our ward, and it's a, you know, fresh slaughter, and this thing is all prepared. I bought the biggest one, the biggest turkey that they had. I was in first. I said, I want your biggest turkey, because I had all this family coming. So we've got, you know, preparations for 24 people, and now it's been slimmed down to, you know, just immediate family. And
yeah.
I'm not really disappointed because I'm excited to have leftovers for at least a week and a half. I think we'll have a week and a half of leftovers.
Is there going to be a point where you just like, no more, I can't do it anymore? Or will you power through all of those leftovers?
I will power through all the leftovers.
Because you also are very, I mean, look, you, if you pay money for something, you are extremely frugal, but you're also willing to spend money on things that are very important to you.
Yeah.
And but if you do spend the money, you're going to get every, you're like, you know, working on a Tatanka. None of that goes to waste, you know?
I am not the settlers that shot them and took their tongues.
Nope.
I'm going to use everything, including their bladder to carry water from the river. Like I am, that is the way I do Thanksgiving. So when we get down to like the bottom line, and you know, the turkey's been sitting in the fridge for about a week and it's dried out, that's when I take a big old butcher knife, I throw what I've got, pinch it all together, and I chop that all through with a butcher knife. I don't shred it, I chop it, and then I squirt about a cup and a half of my favorite two or three barbecue sauces mixed together. And I grind that chopped up turkey into that barbecue sauce, and I start slathering that on rolls for the next 3 days. So nothing's going to go to waste.
I like it. I admire that. There's sometimes where, like, I'll get to a point where, and my mom used to do this, and it's like almost my favorite thing to Thanksgiving, and I'll do it as well, where everybody's getting tired of all the individual food. So what she'll do is she'll take all the leftover gravy and the stuffing and the turkey, and she'll make like a casserole out of it and kind of mix all of it together, put it in a big, in a pan, and then bake it again. So it gets a nice little crust on the top of it. Oh. And then that gives you kind of your second wind. You're like, okay, I can do this.
And pour the gravy all over that thing, like a fresh turkey bake. That would be pretty awesome, too. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, and the mashed potatoes in there, too.
Yeah, throw that in.
Because that all gets mixed up in your plate anyway, so.
Sure. Yeah, mix a little cranberry in there, get a little bit of little tang. Sounds amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a cranberry guy, though. Like, I don't want the sweetness.
I knew that about you. I knew that. And it kind of makes me sad because I think cranberry brings a dimension to the turkey that most people need to experience. Have you had good cranberry sauce? Because out of the can is a mess. You got to have that fresh pressed and boiled high sugared cranberry sauce.
Yeah. No, I don't think I don't know. I've had homemade, I've had out of the can, and I never really felt the whole cranberry thing.
Okay. Fair.
It's like, just
fair.
Yeah, you know, it's like you and key lime pie. Most people like it, you don't, and we accept that. And we move on.
100%. I'm not going to be eating any key lime pie soon. Nobody's going to convince me otherwise.
All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Let's kick it off. It is time for your starting lineup.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go.
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love it. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, the first college football playoff rankings are in. BYU checks in at number 14. React.
Really surprised. Really, really surprised. I didn't think they'd be – I thought they'd be close to top 10. I thought, you know, if you would have talked to me early yesterday, I thought I was thinking maybe in the 9 to 10 range. And then Brian Fisher kind of talked us out of it and thought, no, they'll be close, but they'll be outside the top 10. So then I thought, all right, 10, 11, that's probably where they're going to settle. I didn't think any way, shape, or form they'd drop to 14. I was really blown away by that, Hans. Really surprised by that.
All right, so here's, and I have not tweeted this, but it's a problem I see coming. Like, maybe within the week. Maybe with after this weekend. By the way, so do they now put these college football playoff rankings out every week?
Every
now?
Week from here on out, yep.
All right, here's my prediction. By the time BYU gets back on the field against San Diego State, I think they will be dropped down to number 16.
Yep.
Because of where the committee has put them, and Oregon is right behind them. Oregon will play a couple of games. They've got Oregon State coming up on Friday. I think it's a Friday game. And USC has Colorado. That's a Saturday game, if I remember correctly. So Oregon is at 15. One spot behind BYU, they'll beat Oregon State, be 4-0, and I'm sure the committee will be looking at that like, boy, we really like those beautiful Nike jerseys, and we got to have the Pac-12 represent. I don't know if we can have the top end of the Pac-12 at number 15, and then you'll have USC. Oh, the Trojans, steeped in tradition. Now they're 4-0 and undefeated with a win over Colorado. Boy, can we really hold the 4-0 USC Trojans under the 9-0 BYU Cougars when BYU's decided that they don't want to play because they didn't want to play Washington and they don't want to play Cincinnati because somehow that's the perception that has been painted. And I could see Oregon jumping BYU. I could see USC potentially jumping BYU. You know, I was looking at who's the other undefeated – Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina plays that Texas State team that BYU played, whatever it was, 3 or 4 weeks into the season. They play Texas State this weekend. So, you know, now they'll go to 9-0, and they will have played Liberty. Let's see. Yeah, they will have played Liberty by the time BYU gets back on the field against San Diego State. So let's say Coastal Carolina plays Liberty well. Well, you know, then, boy, do we got to look at putting that Coastal Carolina team at 10-0 at that time in front of BYU.
Yeah.
So what's happened is the College Football Playoff Committee has recognized BYU's schedule as the 14th best. San Diego State won't change that. So now as these teams win that are ranked 15, Oregon, 18, USC, 20, Coastal Carolina, as these teams that are ranked below them, they've set the standard. Those teams can jump them. And so we might see BYU at number 16, possibly 17 by the time they kick off against San Diego State.
Yep. In fact, I fully anticipate that's going to be the case. This is a really and again, when I say these things, and I feel bad that we got to preface this all the time, but I think it's important to know that Tom Homo put together the best schedule he possibly could under the circumstances that he had dealing with him. But this is a really, really bad time for BYU to go dark in playing football. And I don't even care who you're playing. Everybody says, well, you got to play somebody good. Well, in a perfect world, yeah, you'd love to play somebody really good. You'd love to have that Washington game or a team like that. But I still think it's important just to play anybody, even if you got another game with, you know, Northern Alabama or Western Alabama, wherever the hell they came from. Just to put up a score on SportsCenter and just to have a highlight package running on SportsCenter so these voters remember that you're out there and are seeing you watching Zach Wilson play football. I think is incredibly important. The fact that you are just out of the picture, dark, nothing going on, no news coming out of your program, I think that is a really scary situation that BYU's in and is going to hurt them in a bad way.
Very much, Scotty, and very sad. And, you know, Kalani, I thought, did a fantastic job. By the way, I want to tell everybody that Kalani went on yesterday on national TV and stood up very well for BYU. It's something I'd like to see Tom Homo now do. But that look that Kalani had in his eye, Scotty, that's the look that Kalani would give all of us before we took to the field. Kalani wanted to kill somebody yesterday. It was there's that shine in that eye, like, I just want to slap somebody across the face and embarrass them, because you could tell, I have not talked to him, you could tell that this really stirred him up, this really ticked him off. And maybe that's a good thing, because maybe you know they take the field against San Diego State and maybe they just push the pedal all the way to the metal and do as much damage as they possibly can, because San Diego State's going to be ready for that game. I just hope that BYU doesn't have that. What was it, the Hawaii game? What was that moment where BYU just stumbled all over themselves? I was playing professionally at the time. It was an undefeated team, and they might have been the team right after I left, maybe 2001.
It was Hawaii.
Was it Hawaii?
They were, yeah, it was. They went to Hawaii, and Nick Rolovich and
was
Ashley
Hawaii
LeLay
good?
Just, they were pretty good. I don't think they were top 25 good, but they were pretty good, if my memory serves me right.
But they had lost Luke Staley, is that right?
Staley was out with the injury, yeah.
Okay. Well, I just hope that, you know, you don't have some COVID-related issue, or you don't have a misstep, or you don't blink an eye and have San Diego State beat you, because then it makes, you know, every one of us that feels like the 14 ranking is a little bit of a snub. And I'm not saying it's a lot of snub, and I don't think you are either, Scotty. Like,
no.
You know, I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, you could probably make a pretty good case that they should be number 10. That's kind of the case that I would make for them. I would take that two-loss Iowa State team, and I might even take that two-loss Oklahoma team and drop them right below them, which would put BYU at number 11. And then, you know, maybe you make a case. Maybe you make some type of argument against Georgia at 5-2, or an argument at Northwestern, who's 5-0, and even though Northwestern's 5-0 and they have that win against, was it Wisconsin, Scotty, that was a good win?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
You know, so Northwestern has a pretty major win under their belt, but I'm not asking for even an 8 where the AP and coaches had them. I'm not saying, well, that's absolutely where they need to be, because I think they might struggle against the athleticism of Florida. They might struggle against the athleticism of Miami and the defense of Georgia. There's a good chance, but I do think you could make an argument that they should slot into that number 10 or number 9 spot. And then the argument I'd make kind of with alongside that is Cincinnati checked in at number 7. And I think that the only real credible win that Cincinnati has, I studied it last night, I think it was Central Florida, the team that they just played this last weekend. And I watched that game. I watched that game in its entirety. And Central Florida had that game in the bag. Like, they had that game won. And Cincinnati made some really good plays there at the back in the fourth quarter to get that win. Other than that, I don't think that they've got a win that's necessarily greater. They played the same Houston team that BYU played and beat them about the same, maybe beat them a little bit more. But remember, I think Kyrus Tong was out of that Houston game, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So it's not like Cincinnati has enough cachet with their schedule that they should be 7 spots higher than BYU. So I would make an argument to slide BYU maybe up to 10 and bring Cincinnati down to 9. And maybe it could keep some of those powerhouses above them because of, well, perception. Well, that's just the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't care if they have 2 losses. I don't care if Iowa State has 2 losses. You know, and one of those Iowa State losses, I believe, is Louisiana. So I just I guess I make a lot of arguments, and I know that there is that scheduling argument that can be pushed back towards me, and that's fine. I don't think we're all going to agree on this. This feels like the presidential election to me. Like, nobody's going to win here in this argument. It's just it's going to go around and around and around. So the only thing we can do, Scotty, is state our opinion. My opinion is they got snubbed by not eight spots. They got snubbed by four spots. They got snubbed, and a couple of two-loss teams are in front of them. And a Cincinnati team that has maybe one victory that's slightly better, but I would argue that Boise State, that BYU-Boise State win would go against any one of Cincinnati's wins.
Yeah, but they went about against a third-string quarterback.
Well, and the committee was really quick to point that out yesterday about Boise State. And so, you know, they're doing their research, but I think they also knew that they were going to take heat for putting BYU at 14, because let's be honest, there's a lot of national talking heads out there that had BYU's back yesterday. And so I think that committee realized they better have an answer for why they put BYU at 14. And they went really quickly to an undermanned Boise State team and said, oh, well, we dealt with that. Well, it was, and I think you were the one that pointed this out on Twitter, was BYU at full strength in that game? No.
Nope.
I think BYU only had half their coaching staff at that game, too. But it didn't matter. They went out there and wrecked it.
Boy, Kalani hit that one out of the park when he said, does their quarterback play defense?
Because
that defense gave up 55 points. 55 points. Lloyd's got that cut. Here's Kalani Sitake with his quick comeback.
Yeah, Kalani, what was the message that was sent by the committee tonight to BYU regarding your place in the college football world?
I don't know. I don't know all the details. I didn't get to hear much. What did the I forgot the guy from whoever spoke. I was getting ready to get on the show. Do you remember his name?
Arda, the commissioner?
Yeah. So okay. I guess it was him that spoke and mentioned – they mentioned BYU, you know, and – but last I checked, I didn't know that the quarterback for Boise State played defense. So, you know, I think if they're going to really look at it, they should probably look at all the different things. And we know how hard it is to win with your third string quarterback. We did it last year. So, you know, I just know that we have a team that's really deep. And, you know, I'm trying not to get too frustrated. I know Jay wants to see me get mad and all that, but I just know we have a team that's really deep. You guys have seen us. You guys have seen games where you're like, hey, where's this guy? Where's that guy? We've never been full strength, but we don't cry about it either. You know, we just go on and play, and we feel really good with our depth. But how many times have we played with missing linemen or missing position here and there and really haven't skipped a beat as a team? And I think that's a huge compliment to our depth on our team, huge compliment to our coaches and the development of our players, and then huge compliment to the talent that we have here.
I love it. Man, I can't imagine how much fun he was in a locker room when he was dialed in.
Oh, man. His wit was sharp, Scotty, and his comments would cut really deep. But he is a man that is very docile and loving on the exterior, but just a fierce tiger deep in his heart. And you could tell that this one has it's got him stirred up a bit.
Yeah.
And I like to see it. I just wish that Tom Homo would join with Kalani and make a push, make some statements, and make a stink.
I think Tom needs to be on whatever national radio show and whatever dopey ESPN morning show is going on. He needs to it's a lot like, remember the Central Florida athletic director couldn't keep his mouth shut talking about how Central Florida needs to have a place at the table and declare themselves national champions, and just, you know, went out there and just trumpeted the heck out of that program time and time and time again. It was a little obnoxious, sure, but it worked. Everybody was talking about Central Florida. And I think that's what Tom's got to do. Like, Tom's got to ratchet it up. And look, I respect the heck out of Tom Homo. I think he's done a tremendous job. I think this has been the hardest year of his life. But I think it's important that he goes out there and he just becomes the flag bearer for all things BYU and talks to anybody. Anybody who makes an interview request, you take it. That you know, the sports information department at BYU. They need to contact every national show, every national TV show, everything, anything they can do to get him in front and talking about how BYU is getting hosed on this. They need to make happen.
Yeah, and if he's afraid to put his foot in his mouth and then see his team lose, well, you know what? That's the risk you got to take right now, because you weren't able to get the teams on the schedule that could make the statement on the field. So yeah. You're going to have to risk putting your foot in your mouth if your team can't back up some of the checks you're writing. And that's just that's the facts. Them's the facts. You got to have an athletic director that's got some guts to get out in front of the media and make some statements and write some checks that he's not 100% sure they could cash. But at this point, man, sometimes, like watching Conor McGregor, you watch the greatest promoters in the world. Sometimes they didn't have the real game behind the mouth. And sometimes their mouth definitely wrote checks that their bodies couldn't cash. But guess what? At the end of the day, they made the money.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they made the noise. At the end of the day, they got what they wanted. And that was the fight and the attention. And you need Tom Homo to join in this fight with Kalani. Instead of a release, some type of statement on Twitter, get out there. Like Scotty said, get out there, man. This is your time, Tom. You really want to show what kind of great supporter you are of BYU? Get out there. Write some checks. Maybe your team can't cash, but get out there and promote them. That's what I think.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I'm here in lovely Sioux Falls, South Dakota, checking this one off the bucket list. Hans, you're back at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. And all kinds of good things going on out there. And I love what Mark and his crew are doing out there.
Yeah, we got Mark here hanging out with us. And,
Mark,
and
hey, how are you? How is Sioux City?
It is just delightful.
Oh, I bet.
Let's just say it is everything that I expected it to be.
Oh, yeah. That? And you've got to learn a whole new language there, don't you?
Yes.
Ya? Oh, yep. Yeah. Because, you know, hey to the folks. Okay, so I'm going to do this in this accent just so
stay,
you can
stay
really
away from the wood chipper. Yep.
Oh, I know. Stay away from those. It'd take your fingers off. Okay, so we've got a great deal. I don't know if I can maintain that or not. But we've got a really good deal going. I mean, you know, it's Black Friday, and we've got some amazing stuff. We put something together that's going to blow your mind. 2020 Nissan Leaf SV, so nicely loaded, right? $249 a month, zero down on a lease. This is a $38,000 car for $250 a month, and you'll never buy gasoline again. And you got to love that.
So man, how much is that worth a month for people, too? You know?
Plus the curb. I mean, yeah, you probably spend $300 a month in gas.
Yeah.
So not only are you getting a car payment that is way below what you're paying now with nothing out of pocket, but nothing at the pump, you know, your maintenance, you don't have oil changes.
You can see why this is the future.
I'm telling you. And for the money. So we're using every single bit of rebate, every single advantage that we can get to get this price down there. But this isn't going to last because we don't have that many of them left. So if you want to get one of these, you've got to get down here today and get this. Don't wait till Friday. We will be closed on Thanksgiving against our will. No, but you've got, and guess what, guys? Only at Tim Daly Nissan and Murray, you come down and you pick that up. You also get the forever warranty, right? Lasts as long as you own the car, and for as many miles as you put on the car, it's unlimited. Not only that, we've got $199 on the Altima all-wheel drive in a lease with forever warranty included, worry-free sanitize. I mean, it's happening, and you've got to get in here and get it done.
Love it, man. You guys do such a good job down there, and that forever warranty is no joke. Imagine owning that vehicle for as long as you want it, as many miles as you want to put on it, and it's still covered. That forever warranty is worth its weight in gold, and it costs you, Mark, a grand total of what? $0, right?
Well, yeah, it's a big Zippo is what that is. So you can drive all the way up to South Dakota, North Dakota, and drive all the way back, and, you know, you're covered.
Get down there. It is Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Number one.
Because you're number one.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hans and Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone. In the Zone Sports Network.
Seven 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. 10:37, almost at 11:37, right here in Central Time, as Utah State will be in action tonight as they'll square off against VCU. Where they were supposed to play Wichita State. Wichita State actually got here to South Dakota and then had some positive tests, and so they were sent home, and they brought in Virginia Commonwealth, which will be the team that Utah State will play later on tonight. So there you go. Does that make sense? Because it's I'm having a hard time making sense out of all of it.
Man, are you able to get your studies in? Are you even studying, or are you just planning on another change by the time you see the court?
That's the thing. I think I'm just gonna be like, show up, and if we have a game, fine. I'll look at a roster card and off we go. Let's just have some fun. Because yeah, I'm not quite sure how this is gonna play out.
Good luck to you, buddy.
At this point, and I know Utah State, they've gone through all their testing protocol. They're fine. So it's not about Utah State. It's about everybody else around them. And until that game is – I see that ref come to the middle of the court and throw the ball up in the air. Until I see that, then I'm still going to be worried about games being played. I'm not – I'll just be 100% honest with you.
Hmm. Now, I'll never forget the image of – the Utah Jazz getting ready to tip against Oklahoma City and that game getting canceled. And I've told that story a couple of times. My entire family, my mom and dad, everybody was in that front room and were kind of settling in to watch that Jazz OKC game. And as soon as the officials called it, I said, man, nothing's going to be the same. This is going to change everything. And it was from that day on that, man, this virus is just – it just turned us on our head, the sports world on its head, really the world on its head. And you're right. You're right to feel that way. Until that ball's tipped, I wouldn't count on anything.
It's a weird world we're all living in right now, and we all just have to find a way to adapt and find a way to make it work. So you and I, during the break, were kind of going over what things could look like for BYU. And, Hans, I just can't see a picture in which BYU realistically breaks into that top 12 in the college football playoff. I just don't see a path in which they can get there.
Nope, not going to happen. In fact, we did kind of make a case there a minute ago about BYU possibly falling from 14 down to 16 or 17 while these next two weekends are played without BYU playing. And I do believe Oregon will jump them. I think that there's probably a good argument in case that USC will jump them. I know that Iowa State plays Texas. Texas is at 17. Iowa State is at 13. So you figure a good chance that Texas could beat Iowa State. If Texas does beat Iowa State, well, then we know a 6-2 Texas team will jump BYU, and Iowa State will then fall below BYU. But that's just a – you know, that'll just be a flip-flop of positioning. As we mentioned, Oregon and USC, their games, they'll win. And then right across the board, I went through the schedules of everybody else in front of them, ranked in front of them. And outside of conference championship games, which I don't think will influence them to drop much further, they're not going to lose. You know, Northwestern could, I guess, lose to Wisconsin. I know that they play Wisconsin. Northwestern No, they beat Wisconsin. I think they play Minnesota, so they could possibly lose to a Minnesota. I'm trying to think of was there one other team that we identified that could possibly fall?
I think that's about it.
I think that was about it. I know Oklahoma has a couple of easy games to finish out. I think that was it, actually. Let me see. I'm just going through one more. Oh, yeah. The only other one is Indiana, Scotty. Indiana plays Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's right.
Indiana plays Wisconsin. But I think Indiana beats Wisconsin and remains at that point. They will be 6-1 going through that weekend, and they'll stay above BYU. So I actually don't see BYU climbing. I see BYU following even after that San Diego State game, if that is the only game they play, which means – as we've seen Jerry Palm and others point out, BYU will probably end up in a bowl game against a Coastal Carolina or in a bowl game against, you know, maybe a best case scenario. Well, I guess it would be a Coastal Carolina or a Marshall.
Yeah. Yep. It's a really mess. It's a big mess. And the problem is there's so many opportunities for teams to leapfrog BYU. And it just feels like that's a difficult area for them to climb and try to get back in things. The other element to this, too, by the way, is that BYU did not play Washington because I think did not commit to Washington because a lot of people just assumed that Arizona State wasn't going to be able to play and that Utah and Washington would play. And that certainly is the case in hands. Utah was ready to play Arizona State on Sunday. Now that gets bumped up to Saturday, so now you have a little bit less preparation time for that game.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, and this Washington team's really good, Scotty. They're really good. I know we got Thanksgiving tomorrow, and I won't be on air, but I did do a little bit of early Washington preview, just looking at the two games that they've had, and Washington's good. Washington's really good. They're young on offense, Scotty, and they do make some offensive mistakes, but they are physical on defense, and they put their heart on the field. And that, I think, is going to be a pretty rough matchup, for Utah coming up in a couple of days. And where, you know, I understand both of them are on kind of short time to prepare. I will mention this for the Utah fans out there. I think Utah has known that they're going to play Washington since Monday evening. So I think that even parts of Monday, I think that the coaching staff was breaking down both film with slight emphasis on Washington. But I think that come Tuesday, I think that it was – well, yesterday. I understand it's just yesterday, but it's not like they would have had a ton more time. They'd had a Sunday to start, you know, percentage and film breakdown, and then a Monday to really dive into it. But they have had a little bit more time. I think that they had some really good indicators a little bit earlier than the general public, Scotty, that it would be Washington. So that's a good thing. But Washington is a really good team.
They are a really good team, and it's a tough team for Utah to prepare to play for, and especially with what Utah struggled with in that game against USC. And you and I will break that game down a little bit more in depth coming up a little bit later on the program. But that is a tough draw for Utah. But here's the thing. It's just going to be that kind of year. And so I know that Utah just like, hey, look, that's who we're going to play. Let's go, and let's find a way to line up and try to make it work.
As far as just giving Utah fans kind of an idea of what they're going to see on Saturday, you're going to see a very physical defense, and I want people to watch really closely. There's a couple of dudes that are tough to stop. There's a guy named Tuipuloa Fetui that is an absolute he's an engine. You know, you talk about guys just having a motor and screaming around the field. This Zion is an absolute nightmare at that linebacker position. Number 58. And Scotty, I'm sure if you watched that Arizona game, I think that he had three sacks. I don't know. I think three sacks, but I know that I saw him hit the quarterback five times.
Yeah.
So they send this guy at the quarterback, and I guarantee you they're going to send him at Jake Bentley as often as they possibly can. And then when I was watching, because I went back and just watched parts of that Washington-Arizona game, Arizona's got a pretty darn good quarterback. You know, we watched that Grant Gunnell extend multiple drives against USC and did it with his feet, did it with his arm. And Washington hit him so many times that I wondered if Gunnell was going to break in half. They just were relentless on him. They ended up with, I think it was six registered sacks and another five or six quarterback hits. So what I'm trying to say is this is a bad matchup for Utah, because we saw Utah's offensive line be a little bit scrambled, make some mistakes. They got beat on one-on-one matchups. They weren't doing a great job of picking up stunts. When they went to their slide protection, and my guess is, this is, nobody has told me this, my guess is we're going to see a lot more slide protection and moving Bentley on some type of boot look or trying to slide protect and getting the ball out in a three-step to try to help Jake Bentley not get hit so often. But Washington is going to have something ready for the slide protection, because they saw a healthy dose of the slide protection against USC in an attempt to slow their defensive front down, and that was the only thing that partially worked. And, Scotty, if I know that you as a team, if I know you as an offensive coordinator are going to throw a lot of slide protect at me, and I have a kind of a good idea of where you're sending Brumfield or Wilmore or any one of your backs, I'm going to find matchups, and I'm going to make you pay for your slide protection.
Yep.
So you better be getting that ball out of your hand fast. It's not a good matchup. And to have this in Seattle is a tough – that's a tough draw, too.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. What you may have missed coming up next.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
The initial college football playoff rankings, not viewing the Cougs like the AP and the coaches poll. BYU comes in at number 14. Kalani Sitake.
But last I checked, I didn't know the quarterback for Boise State played defense.
Whoa! You know what I love right there? Kalani sticking up for his team. I think that's great.
You and I both agree. BYU's schedule has been substandard this year, but they put together what they could under very difficult circumstances. But don't be denigrating what BYU did against Boise State.
Well, they're looking for whatever reason they can to exclude BYU.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, you are a wordsmith, brother. a crafter of words, certainly. Hey, two quick things to hit in what you may have missed. Scotty, number one.
Yeah.
Take note, because this is how you treat a coach that does great things in a year. Mark Pope had his debut season last year as BYU basketball's head coach. Now, he was fantastic. Went 24-8. Projected as a single-digit seed in the NCAA tournament before that thing collapsed. Led the team to a win over number 2 Gonzaga in the Marriott Center. That was the highest-ranked team that BYU had ever beat in the Marriott Center. He had Yoeldy Childs, TJ Haas, Jake Toulson, all on the West Coast Conference first team. He did a lot of great things. But what happens is, when you do great things, you give extensions.
And those extensions then secures that coach and makes them feel loved. And you don't just give like a little 3-year extension and kind of like, oh, here's something to keep your mouth shut. You give them a nice, healthy extension. Now, Mark Pope apparently has taken a lesser amount now, but more of an amount later to kind of give good faith through this COVID situation and the shortfall that BYU continues to talk about, that $20 million shortfall they talk about. But this is how you treat a coach. And I couldn't be more happy of BYU's decision to go out there and extend Mark Pope.
It was really, really an impressive extension. And I talked to a few people around the business and sent that out, and everybody's jaw just kind of dropped a little bit on the length of that. And now the details are coming out, and you mentioned that, there's going to push some money back. It'll be a little bit more backloaded to kind of help BYU get through some difficult financial things. And so when a coach does that, you want to reward him with some years on the end of that. But for 1 year to get extended out through, what was it, 2026, 2027?
That's right.
That is a massive extension for a one year of work, and he deserves it. I'm not saying it's a bad deal. I think it's a good deal for BYU, but wow, that is a really, really big extension.
Do you think it's now set the standard? So if Kalani does finish undefeated and does some good work to finish up this season, that he will get 5 years set on top of that 2 years remaining?
I think he should. Absolutely he should. If he goes undefeated this year, and they win their bowl game, whatever bowl game that is, and they're a top 10 at that point, maybe even a top 5 team, then yeah, absolutely, he should get a really, really fat extension.
The other thing that I wanted to hit on really quickly, and what you may have missed, Scotty, because I think it's really important, the Cincinnati Temple game will not be played this week because of COVID and the situation with both schools. And the conference, the American Athletic Conference, sent out an announcement. It said that the American Athletic Conference has announced that the scheduled football game between Cincinnati and Temple will not be played because of COVID, coming from both institutions. The game was scheduled to be played this Saturday, though the schools share a common open date, December 5th. Americans' return to play protocols would not allow for sufficient number of student athletes to be available for competition on that date. Well, why am I reading this? Why does it have importance? Well, that would have been that December 5th date when BYU was possibly working with Cincinnati and hoping to maybe get a game scheduled. Well, that's out of the question now because Cincinnati will not be available to play December 5th.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a – and I didn't – look, we never really anticipated that game was going to be played anyway, but no. Now it's definitely not going to be played.
Yep.
Hey, by the way, before we get to Mark here, Hans, what was the game you were all excited about on Thursday you were going to cuddle up with?
Oh, Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Guess what? It's moved to Sunday because of a COVID outbreak with the Ravens.
Well, just keep ruining my Thanksgiving, Scotty.
Yeah.
What else? My turkey's rotting currently in my brine.
Oh boy.
I'm going to pull my turkey out and it's going to have mold on it.
Well, let me cheer you up a little bit because we got some great savings going on at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Mark's hanging out with us once again. And, Mark, look, those Leafs are incredible rides, and now you can get them for an incredible price.
Oh, they are unbelievable. I mean, now is the time because I don't have many of these left. You're going to need to come in here and get one of these for Black Friday because $249 a month on a lease with 0000 down and lifetime warranty worry-free sanitize. And these Leafs are incredible. If you've ever driven one of these, I mean, I sold one to my nephew, and he says, it's like playing a video game every day. And I says, it's not Frogger, I hope. You know, no. He says, you know, you've got all this information about the battery and how long you can make your battery life last. But he says, I just love driving past these gas stations, and I don't have to stop and get gas because, and we've got free charging. Too. You can come here, and there's free charging all over. You would not believe the infrastructure there is for an all-electric vehicle. This really is the wave of the future. You're going to want to come down and get one, and there's just nothing. This is almost a $40,000 car, $250 a month. Imagine you could make that payment just in what you were spending in gas
It's awesome. It's absolutely incredible. And then, of course, you got the forever warranty attached to that as well.
Oh, yeah. That goes right along with it. And you want something all-wheel drive and a sedan? We've got it with the Altima. $199 a month gets you into that. Or we've got 72 months at 0% interest.
Wow.
So you just, I mean, and let me tell you something. We've got more and more coming. That's going to be incredible. We will launch on Black Friday. You're going to want to look at our website. It's going to blow your mind.
Well, check it out. It's a Black Friday savings with a forever warranty, 0% financing on a bunch of models down there. Get down there. It's all at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.